Turn in the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew 27, we'll read verses 26 through 32. I'll begin at verse number 26, and then if you'll join me on verse number 27, and then we'll read responsively down through the 32nd verse. Matthew chapter number 27, verses 26 through 32. If you'll stand with me, please. Matthew 27, and I'll begin there at verse number 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a good time this is. Lord, look forward to this. And Lord, we ask that you please be with the service, be with the preacher as he speaks. Lord, I thank you for that song that was just played a little while ago. Lord, beyond the cross is a tomb that is empty. And Lord, thank you so much that you have power over that. We pray, Lord, that you please meet with us. Now be with the special music and then the preaching. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Death and hell could not hold him prey. He rose triumphant, glorious day. Soon he's coming back again in power and glory to life so free. Sinner, look and live, saith he. Pardon is offered to thee. Why will you perish? He took your place, canceled the debt.
Stone, I appreciate that, sir. Appreciate it. It has sounded loud to me today out there and not up here. It could be that we're just not as loud up here. Has it been overwhelming out there for you? Too loud? No? Okay. It's just not up here then, Brother Greg. It hasn't been all day. Now listen, teenagers, you ought never be sitting around talking and visiting while somebody's singing a special. You ought to be sitting up listening and paying attention. Okay? If I'm gonna get on boys on Wednesday night, I'm gonna get on the girls on Sunday night if I have to. So pay attention, listen when somebody's singing a special. That's a wonderful song, and it takes a lot of practice and effort to go into special music, and really it deserves our attention, amen? Especially a song about the cross like that, about Jesus. So help us with that, and that'll be a blessing, okay? And I don't want to get casual about our worship service, and that's what this is, okay? I don't want to get casual about it. I appreciate you coming to church looking like it's church. I really do. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you. And we want to act like it while we're here, right? And that'll be a blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the privilege to have this service. My, my, my. Thank you for leaving us this ordinance. What a joy it is. And Lord, thank you for what it represents, all that we can enjoy because of the what the bread and the juice symbolizes. Speak to our hearts tonight. Help me, I pray, and then as we pass the elements after a while, may it be a blessing to us to recall and remember Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. And thank you for salvation in Him and through Him. And we ask it in His name. And amen. Verse 32 contains the first mention in the New Testament of the cross of Jesus Christ. Maybe it jumped out at me the other day. I thought, I don't think this is mentioned anywhere. 27, 32. And now the cross is mentioned before, but he's talking about your cross. When he's talking about our cross, let's take our cross. This is the first mention of the cross of Christ in verse 32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. That's the cross of Christ. Now you remember that after all the physical abuse and the beating that Jesus received and under Pilate and Herod's judgment hall there, he was then ordered to carry his own cross to Golgotha, and being weak from the loss of blood, the lack of sleep, and all that he'd gone through starting the previous day and night there in the garden. You remember when he prayed and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and all that he'd gone through physically, with all that behind him, now Jesus stumbled under the weight of that cross, and the Roman soldiers reached out to Simon of Cyrene and compelled him, the Bible says, to come and carry Jesus' cross for him. And of course, he carried it to Golgotha, and there Jesus was then crucified on that cross. And it is that cross that I want to draw our attention to tonight, and in a very particular way, and you'll understand in just a moment. Now, this cross became an altar. It did not look like the other altars people were familiar with, but this cross became an altar on Golgotha's hill. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Turn there with me, and we want to look at some verses here in Hebrews chapter 10 this evening. An altar was a place where sacrifices were offered. I don't think I'm telling you anything you don't know. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices were offered there on the altar, the burnt offer, altar, the brazen altar there in the courtyard of the tabernacle and the temple. And it had its dimensions to it, 3D, height, depth, and width, and so forth. And there's where the offerings, the sacrifices were offered. The Bible talks about that in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 1. I'm not going to read the entire verses here, the entire verse to you. But halfway through the verse, can never with those sacrifices which they offered. The sacrifices were offered on the altar. Verse number 2 talks about, for then would they. And the plural pronoun there, they, is in reference to the sacrifices. They not have ceased to be offered. So sacrifices offered again in verse number 2. In verse number 3, you see sacrifices. In verse number 5, you see the words again, sacrifice and offering. In verse number 6, you see the words offerings and sacrifices. In verse number 8, again, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings. So there it is several times in verse number 8. Come to verse 10. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 11, it talks about the same sacrifices. And then you get to verse number 12. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And a lot of those references to offerings and sacrifices in verses 1 through 10 were referring to the Old Testament offerings and sacrifices. But when you get down here to verse number 12, that's talking about the offering and sacrifice that was made on the cross of Calvary by Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Himself. Now, Simon the Cyrenian, He carried the cross to Golgotha. And as he carried the cross to Golgotha, what he was actually carrying was an altar. And Jesus was to be offered as a sacrifice on that altar. Now, this altar had a much different shape than the altars in the Old Testament, tabernacle and temple. This altar was completely different in its shape. It was up two beams of wood, a vertical beam and a horizontal beam. And they were either nailed or screwed or lashed together. You know that. You've seen the cross. You understand the cross, the shape of the cross. And so the shape of this altar was completely different than any shape of any altar in previous time. And here Jesus would be offered as the sacrifice. I want to talk about that cross for a minute. I want to talk about the altar on which Jesus was sacrificed and offered. And first of all, I want to talk about the vertical beam. The vertical beam, okay, the straight up and down. That vertical beam gives testimony or witness as to how man gets from earth to heaven. How man gets from earth to heaven. And the testimony that that vertical beam gives is this. The cross, the sacrifice on that altar, is the only way to heaven from earth for mankind. That's the testimony of that vertical beam. How are you going to go from earth to heaven? The cross, that vertical beam, makes a statement. The only way from earth to heaven is through the sacrifice that was offered on this altar. So you know what that made the cross? That vertical beam makes the cross exclusive. Webster's defines the word exclusive this way, having the power of preventing entrance. And you realize, friend, that that is the message of the cross. The message of the cross is there's no other way to heaven from earth but through the sacrifice that was offered on that vertical beam. That's the message. They have to come by way of the sacrifice on the cross. I didn't know we were going to sing the song tonight, but we just did a few moments ago. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. And that's the message that the vertical beam gives. The vertical beam says there's only one way. Jesus talked about that one way in John chapter 14 and verse number 6. He said in response to Philip's question, how should we know the way? He said, I am the way. And then he said, the truth. And then he said, the life. And I like the use of that little word, the, in front of each one of those. The way, the truth, and the life. Singular. He repeated this in John chapter 10 and verse number 9 when he said, I am the door. And then he said in 6:35 of the Gospel of John, I am the bread of life. You know what Jesus did, friend? Jesus made the way to heaven very exclusive. It's my way or no way at all. And that's what the message of that vertical beam says. The cross prevents entrance into heaven by any other way. It excludes all other attempts by mankind to get the glory. It excludes all other attempts by anybody to work their way or merit their way or get baptized enough or join enough churches or do this or do that. The cross, that vertical beam, excludes all other ways to heaven and just says this is the only way. So the cross is exclusive. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 12, I want you to notice the word one. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin. And I want you to see verse number 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The emphasis on one, making it exclusive. This is the only way to heaven. I don't know what you do when you're witnessing to people. I don't know how many verses you use. If you stick exactly to the Romans road, I like to start in John chapter 3 with Nicodemus. I like to start by asking people, have you ever been what the Bible calls born again? I get more opportunities to witness than just asking, are you 100% sure that you'll go to heaven? Everybody's almost 100% sure that they're going to heaven. But when you ask them, have you ever been what the Bible calls born again, it stumps them a lot of time. Stumps them. And that's where I like to start. And then I like to get over there when I finally work my way around to Romans chapter 5, and verse number 8, where the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the opportunity I have to start zeroing in on the cross of Calvary and talking about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And I say, I don't know how much you know about the Old Testament and the Jewish people in the Old Testament. And sometimes they know and sometimes they don't know. And I remind them, or I tell them, that all through those 4,000 Old Testament years, that the animals were offered on those altars. Animals were offered as sacrifices. And the Bible says that the blood of those animals covered sin. Just covered sin for 1 year, and then another sacrifice had to be made, and it was covered for another year, and then another sacrifice had to be made, and it was covered for another year, and then another sacrifice had to be made, and it was covered for another year, because that's all the blood of animals could do. And every one of those sacrifices was a picture of the fact that one day God would send His Lamb from heaven. And that Lamb would die once for all man's sin debt. And John the Baptist was baptizing by the River Jordan. And here came Jesus. And John prophetically lifted up his finger and pointed and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now watch it. "Which taketh away the sin of the world." There's a great big difference in covering something for a year and taking it away. And that's what I tell them. And I love to talk about that. And I tell them this when I get a chance to witness to them. I say, listen. God doesn't recognize or look at any other sacrifice for sin outside of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. Whatever you can try to do, whatever you attempt to do, whatever you try to work up in your flesh, God doesn't even recognize it. In fact, He says in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 54, I believe, that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. Think about that, friend. The cross, that vertical beam of that cross that became the altar on which Jesus was offered as a sacrifice for sin. The vertical beam of that cross says that the cross is exclusive. This is the only way to heaven. The only way man can go from earth to heaven is through the sacrifice on that cross. Jesus is the only way. You've had people tell you, I've had people tell me, "Well, you worship your way and I worship my way. We're all going down different roads and they all end up at the same place." That doesn't make physical sense down here on earth, and it sure doesn't make spiritual sense. There's only one road, only one way, the Lord Jesus. That's what the vertical beam says. Now listen, how about that horizontal beam? The horizontal beam. What does it say? The horizontal beam gives testimony or witness as to who can come through this sacrifice. So the vertical beam tells us how you can get from earth to heaven. And the horizontal beam tells us who can go from earth to heaven. And the horizontal beam stretches from east to west and from west to east. The Webster's, the point I'm making here is that the cross, the horizontal beam of the cross The vertical beam is exclusive. The horizontal beam is inclusive. Enclosing, encircling the entire globe. There it is. Took me a minute to get it out. All right. The people from the distance from north to south. Help me, Lord. My mind is tired. You're noticing, aren't you? All right. The distance from north to south can be measured, but the distance from east to west and west to east cannot be measured. And that horizontal beam extends this way, telling the whole world that whosoever will may come through that offering on the cross of Calvary. Thank you. That's what the Bible says. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that's what I want to point out tonight. The vertical beam says that the message is that it's exclusive. There's only one way to heaven, but the horizontal beam says the message is for everybody. It includes the whole entire world. Red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in His sight. The sacrifice that was offered on the altar of the cross is all inclusive. And I like that little word "all" for everybody. I've said it over and over again. I just cannot buy into the Calvinistic teaching that God chose some for heaven and some for hell. I cannot buy into that. And I think I've got a lot of verses in the Bible to back it up, but I really only need one. And that's Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So if we fit into the first all, we fit into the last all. The Bible teaches the cross, the message of the cross is that it's all inclusive. It's for everybody. That horizontal beam stretched from east to west. Whosoever will, whoever wants to, whoever will come and confess that they're a sinner, whoever will come and confess that they can't make it on their own, whoever will come and embrace the Lord Jesus who was offered on that cross, the vertical beam, exclusively the only way to heaven, whosoever will embrace Him can be saved and have everlasting life. And think about this, friend. If you do come to the cross and embrace the fact that it is the exclusive way to heaven, the Lord Jesus only, nobody, no other way, that horizontal beam that invites everybody from east to west, whoever comes in that group to receive Jesus as Savior has their sins removed from them as far as the east is from the west. You can't find them. That distance can't be measured. It's gone. Gone. So the offering, that offering on the cross is for everybody. I said this morning, and I preached on the course, the purchased possession this morning. And the very first message I preached in this series, I talked about the plan of the purchased possession. Now, here it is. God chose the how. And it's represented by that vertical beam. But God did not choose the who. And that's represented by that horizontal beam. There's only one way, but whosoever will can come that way. The message of the cross is that God wants everybody to live with Him in heaven. But to do so, a person has to come through the sacrifice that was offered on that altar. The Lord Jesus Christ. If you slipped in here tonight thinking that, you know, going to church might make you feel better. Yeah, church service may do that. It may rub a little salve on a conscience and make you feel good. But friend, I want to tell you something. That little salve on your conscience won't do to get to heaven. If you slipped in this service tonight and you don't know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, maybe you've trusted in some religion or some baptism or some church membership or some good deed or some Christian grandparent or praying mother or dad, and you're depending on that to get you to heaven. The cross sends a message that salvation is exclusive. It is only through Jesus Christ and the offering that He made on that cross. But hey, it's open to you. To you. If you've never been saved, whether you're in the church for the first time tonight or whether you're here every Sunday, if you've never been saved, come to the cross. It's for you. And it is the only way from earth to heaven for all of mankind. The horizontal beam, exclusive. The vertical beam, exclusive. The horizontal beam, whosoever will. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Before I pray, I'd like to ask this question. I wonder tonight if there might be somebody in the service who's not saved. You don't know for sure that if you died, you would be in heaven. A lot of the songs tonight have been about the cross, the cross, the cross. A lot of the songs, the music has been about the cross. Have you come to the cross, friend? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Are you depending only and solely upon Him for salvation? To go from earth to heaven, you have to go by way of the cross. But the good news is, whosoever will may come. Is there anybody in the service tonight? You say, Pastor Angel, I don't know for sure that if I die, I go to heaven. I don't know that I've ever trusted Christ as the Bible says I need to. In order to go to heaven. I don't know that. And that concerns me. Pastor, I'd just like to ask you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up tonight? I feel compelled to ask that from front to back and side to side. Anybody in the service tonight, up or down? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved. If you're here tonight, you've been saved, never baptized, be obedient to the Lord, follow Him in believers' baptism, be a wonderful thing. And tonight, when we pass the bread and the juice, we'll say a word about what it symbolizes. It symbolizes the sacrificial offering of Christ on that cross. But friend, it is an exclusive message. A message that is salvation is exclusive to Jesus and Jesus only. But an inclusive message in that anybody and everybody can come, whosoever will. If you're not saved, I hope you'll get saved tonight. It's a good time to ask God to cleanse your heart and prepare you for the Lord's Supper. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing the song.